Shabbat Tov u'Mevorach, Rabotai, Beruchim Ata'im. We are continuing our study of Sefer Tehillim of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, Zechuto Yagen Alenu, Amen. We are studying tonight the 136th chapter. That is chapter Kuf Lamed Vav, one of the famous chapters in the book of Tehillim. According to the Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Chet, it refers to this chapter as Hallel HaGadol, the Great Hallel. In this chapter, there are 26 Pesukim, and the 26 Pesukim all talk about the different Hasadim, kindnesses that God did for the Jewish nation, from when He took us out of Mitzrayim, all the way until we receive the Torah. The Hakamim tell us in the Gemara Pesachim, and I quote, "Velama nekra shemo Halel Gadol." Why is this chapter called Halel Gadol? This is the chapter that says, "Ki le'olam hazdo, ki le'olam hazdo, ki le'olam hazdo," because God's kindness is le'olam, is forever. Why do we call this chapter Halel Gadol? Amar Rabbi Yohanan, "Mepenei shehakadosh baruch hu yoshev mirumo shel olam," Borei Olam sits in the highest levels in the Shemaim, "umehalek mezonot lechol b'riyah," and He gives out sustenance to all the creations. That shows the gadlut of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, how He sustains the whole world. If you look at the end of this chapter, the last two lines is, "noten lechem lechol basar ki le'olam hazdo." That's the main line of the chapter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, amongst all the colossal hasadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, but He doesn't forget even the individual needs as well. Yitziat Mitzrayim is a macro. That's something that was on a large scale. But even on the micro level, even dealing with each individual's parnasah, like the Gemara says, Borei Olam gives sustenance from the biggest animals, Mekarnei Re'emim, Re'em is a giant animal, Ad bitzei kelim, to the eggs of the lice. There's no smaller creature than the eggs of the lice. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports them as well. And if God supports the animals, certainly He gives parnasah to the whole creation. And that's one of the greatest manifestations of Borei Olam. Just think about it. If we would want to make a party, and you'd want to make a party for 1,000 people, how long would it take you to prepare for 1,000 people? You'd have to be preparing food for months and months in advance in order to prepare for that night. And that's only one meal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplies not one meal, supplies endless amount of food, not for 1,000 people, for billions and billions of people in the creation every single day. Just look what happened now in Haiti. After the earthquake, so now human beings try to intervene to make meals. The biggest struggle is how they're going to supply food for all these victims. A day before the earthquake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was supplying food without any problem. And that's why this is called Halel HaGadol. As a matter of fact, the Gemara Pesachim says that in this chapter, it talks about the sustenance of men. It talks about Noten Lechem Lechol Basar, and right next to it, it talks about Yitziat Mitzrayim. It says Legozer Yamsuf Legzarim, that the Jewish people crossed Yamsuf. So the Gemara asks, what's the connection between Yitziat Mitzrayim and a Parnasa? So the Gemara says, Kashin Mezonotav Shel Adam Yoter Mekiriat Yamsuf. That it's difficult for a person to make Parnasa like the splitting of the sea. What does it mean? Which means, just like Borei Olam was worried about Klal Yisrael as a whole, and therefore when He saw they were in trouble, He split the sea from them, don't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just as worried about the individual. And therefore there's a connection. You might think, Borei Olam, when there's major world events, then God gets involved. But He's going to get involved with each person's petty bills, and his chavot, and his debts, and his money, that's too menial for God. No. וגוזר ימסוף מגזרים, נותן לחם לכל בשר. Just like God is the macro, he's the micro also. Just like he took care of Klai Yisrael in a major way, he takes care of us in a personal, individual way as well. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Amar Yoshua ben Levi, Hane 26 hodu keneged mi. There's 26 hodus in this chapter. Now we know 26 right away when we hit 26. We know that's Yudke Vavke. But the Gemara tells us something else. Keneged chav vav dorot shebara hakadosh baruch hu be'olamo veno natan lahem Torah vezan otam behasdo. The Torah was given in the 26th generation from creation. From Adam to Noah is 10 generations. From Noah to Abraham is 10 generations. From Abraham to Moshe is 6 generations. The Torah was given in the 26th generation. And we know that all the beracha in the world comes from Torah. So how did the world exist for the first 26 generations? So the Pasuk says, Olam chesed yibane, that for the first 26 generations, God gave us sustenance for free. Once the Torah came in the world, then all our beracha comes from Torah, then we earn it. But before the Torah came into the world, the 26 generations were living behesed. That's why it's called Halel Gadol, to teach us the great chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for 26 generations. There are some rabbis I saw in the Perushim, which we're not going to go into tonight, that on every line of this chapter, it discusses which generation it's talking about. That's Adam HaRishon. The next generation is the generation of Enosh, his son. And then the third generation. And they go all 26 generations down until Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe at the end I'll show you a few, just to give you a feeling how technical this chapter is. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ki hu amar vayehi, hu tziva vayamod. What does it mean? Ki hu amar, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created it with ma'amarot, verbally. Ki hu amar vayehi, and the world was. But vayehi is a language that means unstable. It was, but it wasn't firm. The world was shaky, so to speak, which means they didn't have zikuyot yet. Utsiva, when he commanded and gave us the Torah, Torah tzivadanu Moshe, vayamod. Now the world was on firm ground. Now the world had stability. Now we earned. If you take the words ki hu amar, ki, what letter does it start with? Chaf, ki. Hu starts with what? Hey. He. Amar is aleph. Ki hu amar, chaf, he, aleph is how much? 26. Ki hu amar, he created the world for the first 26 generations, vayehi. Utsivav, once he commanded and gave us the Torah, then already vayamod. So that's why this is called Halel Gadol, connected to 26 generations. Okay, now we begin the chapter. What's the first line of the chapter? Famous, Hodu Adonai Ki Tov, Ki Le'olam Hazdo. Give thanks to God, for He is good. Hodu Adonai Ki Tov, give thanks to God, because He is good. Ki Le'olam Hazdo, and His kindness lasts, endures forever. Okay. So we go one step at a time. The Gemara Pesachim explains this. We go with the Gemara's interpretation. We continue reading. Amar Rav Chisda, May Dichtiv, Hodu L'Adonai Ki Tov, Hodu L'Hashem, Shegove Chovato Shel Adam, Betovato. Ah. Give thanks to God, the one that collects his debt from the person's goodness. Gemara gives an example. Ashir b'shoro ve'et ani b'siyo yatom b'betzato almana b'tanegolta. Which means sometimes a person is in contempt. He owes God for the averot that he does. Really, Borei Olam can come after the person himself. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu is merciful. Instead of going after the person himself, he goes after what he has in his life that's good. The rich man, what does he have? Money. So what does God do? He takes away the tov. The rich man loses $1 million. He's crying, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the million to save his life. The poor man, you don't have to take away $1 million. He doesn't have $1 million. What does he have, Hazit? Miskin is a sheep. That's his empire. God takes away his sheep. That's his goodness. Hodu laHashem. Give thanks to God. You know why? Ki tov. Because when he wants to take retribution from a person, he takes away what's good. Which means his assets. Money is replaceable. The human life is not. And therefore it's a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the retribution on a something that's exchangeable and leaves the human being intact. Ki le'olam hasdo. Indeed, that is considered the favor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the world. Good. Okay, now we go to the second line. Well, I just want to explain to you for the whole chapter, I'll explain to you once, because we're not going to explain it 26 times. Anytime it says, Ki le'olam hasdo, which literally means, God's kindness is forever. Le'olam means forever. A kindness of a human being is temporary. We can only do kindness as long as we live. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki le'olam hasdo. That's one interpretation. But there's another interpretation. When a human being does a chesed, or a king does a chesed to a nation, it's for personal gain. The government, for example, might be good to the people so they can charge them taxes, so they can make themselves wealthy. So although it's chesed, but it's not really a chesed for the world. It's a self-gratifying chesed. It's a chesed for themselves. The chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that al-Sheikh is le'olam, is for the world. God doesn't need anything. And therefore what he does, chesed, it's really le'olam. It's ideally for the world itself without God having any benefit. It's ideally, it's idealistic, it's altruistic. Ki le'olam hasdo. Okay, that's the way we're going to explain it throughout. What's the second line? Hodu le'loheha Elohim. Ki le'olam hasdo. Now, Elohim, in this paragraph, in this line, means angels. The angels are called Elohim, like we say in the Berich Shemeh on Shabbat. Ve'la al bar Elohim samichna. I do not rely on bar Elohim. What's bar Elohim? Literally, the sons of God, which means malachim. But it's a big chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created malachim. These are Eloheha Elohim. These are the angels. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great. His light is very bright for us. The holy books say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he would not have been Mitzamtzim himself, Mitzamtzim means he needed to limit himself, so to speak. And before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it was bright. It was all God. If the world would have been created in such a way, we wouldn't be able to exist because the countenance of God is so great that it would be too overwhelming. It's blinding. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He, so to speak, retracted. He was mitzamtzim. He minimized himself. And in the place where he minimized himself, he put a little light in the middle, put a little light from his light, but it was tolerable. And in that place where the light of God used to be, he created worlds. One of the worlds is our world, Olam Ma'asiyah. But before HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzim himself, he would not be able to make a world. It was too bright. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to the world via the angels. So that's a chesed for us. Because if he would go directly with us, we wouldn't be able to handle the kedusha. So we say, Hodu le'loheha Elohim. We give thanks to God who is the God of the gods, Lavdir, the God of the angels. Ki le'olam hasdo, it's a chesed for us. Because since we have now filters, so to speak, through the angels, through the malachim, so then already we're able to see the Shekhinah via the malachim. It's a buffer between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an intermediary. Hodu ladone ha'adonim. Adonai Adonim literally means give thanks to the Lord of the Lords. What is this referring to over here? This is referring to the Galgalim. The Galgalim are the celestial bodies. That's the planets, That's all the including the sun and the moon collectively, but we're going to see it individually in a minute. It's including all the galaxies and all the different things that are going on in the solar system. Now, Borei Olam controls them. All the galaxies are controlled by God, and there's power that they have. A person shouldn't think. In the olden days, the Goyim used to worship the stars. Ovdei kochavim umazalot. You say, who would worship a star? Harambam writes, a star is an angel. A star is like a malach. We look at it as children. A star, it's just like a tree. It's just an inanimate object. According to Harambam, a star is a malach. It's a force. It's a power. It has kohot. And therefore, God is the God and controls the angels. Or the stars and the galaxies and the orbits. Ki le'olam hasdo. This is a kindness of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because by controlling the galaxies, that's where the mazal of a person comes. And that's all the benefits of this world comes. From the direction of the moon, it affects the tide. Ibn Ezra writes that the stars affect growth of the plants. So there's great, great benefits from this. So hodu l'adonai adonim ki le'olam hasdo. That's the benefit as well. Good. Le'ose nifla'ot gedolot lebado ki le'olam hasdo. Okay. What does it mean? The God that performs great wonders lebado, to himself. What does it mean? He makes wonders to himself? Just say le'ose nifla'ot gedolot. God makes great wonders. What does it mean, libado, to himself? So I'm going to explain to you. The Gemara says, En ba'al nes makir et niso. The one that a miracle happens to him, sometimes doesn't recognize that a miracle happened. I'll give you an example. You have a person, he's on the way to catch a flight, and there's traffic. And there's traffic, and he can't get to the flight. And by the time he gets to the airport, he misses his flight. He says, what is God doing to me over here? Why would God do this to me over here? He doesn't understand what's happening. Sure enough, 3 hours later, he hears the flight, but none. He could have been on it. At the time God put him in traffic, he didn't realize God's making a miracle for him. Who's the only one that knew about the miracle? Hashem. Le'osei nifla'ot gedolot lebado. Sometimes God is libado. He's the only one that knows that a miracle is being done. The classic example in Tanakh is the example of Bil'am. Bil'am went on top of a mountain. And he went to curse the Jewish people. We had no idea Bil'am was on the mountain. We were living business as usual. The only one that knew Bil'am was on the mountain was Borei Olam. And of course, Balak. What was God doing? Every time he tried to curse us, the curses of Bil'am switched into blessings. How did we end up finding about the story of Bil'am? Only when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to write the Torah, so God tells Moshe, okay, now write, Vayar Balak ben Sipor, Menech Moab, Balak, Bil'am, God, when did this happen? Oh Moshe, you didn't know about the story. All the Torah you knew about, but this is an episode that nobody knew about. You were in trouble. You didn't realize how dangerous it was. If Bil'am would have succeeded, it would have been a holocaust, Bar Minan. But I interceded, and I turned his curses into blessings. On this we say, Le'osei nifla'ot gedolot lebado. Only God realizes that it was a miracle. The miracle is done only to Hashem. He knows about it, nobody else. Similarly, but now when it comes to terrorism, we only know about the cases that a person came to try to blow up a bus, and when he was getting on the bus, they caught him. They caught him, and they detonated the bomb, and they said, okay, we know that miracle. But what about all the times when the terrorist is in his garage, strapping himself up, and the thing blows up, and kills him and his whole family? We have no idea about this miracle. We only know about the failed attempts, but we don't know about the attempts that never even made it to the news. sometimes the miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Levado, only He recognizes it. But there might be another interpretation. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make a miracle for a person. He'll do something out of the ordinary. But what does a person come along and say? It was a coincidence. It was a fluke. It was good luck. He doesn't attribute the miracle of God to the forces of Hashem. Instead, he attributes it to nature. And therefore, sometimes we say, Le'osin neflot gedolot. God does great wonders, but it's libado. It's only to Him. The man sometimes misinterprets this at, it's natural, it always happens. It's normal. It's not normal. It's nifla'ot. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the human being interprets it as nature. So it's libado. It remains to God. The Bein Yishai explains that when Borei Olam did the miracles in Egypt, the 10 plagues, he made it with different Shemot. God has different Shemot. One is the name Shem Mimbit. That's the letter, the name of Hashem that has 42 letters. Or 42 Gematria, let's say. So how do we figure that out? So he says the Gematria of Libado is how much? Lamed is 30. Bet is 2. Vav Dalet is 10. So the Oseh Niflaot Gedolot, well, the Olam made Niflaot Gedolot, the 10 plagues. How did he make them? Libado. Libado using Shem, Membet, using the 42 letter name of Hashem. Okay, let's go to the next one. Ki Le'olam Hasdo. Okay, that we said already. That's the great wonders he does. So we can praise him. So that's a big chesed. Le'oseh Shamayim B'tmuna. That's okay. The one that created the heavens with understanding. What does it mean? He created the heavens with understanding. Le'oseh Shamayim B'tmuna. So I'll explain to you two interpretations. One interpretation is, from where do we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu from studying the creation. The Pasuk says, Se'u marom enecha ur'u mi bara ele. The Pasuk says, Se'u marom enecha. Lift your eyes up and look at the heavens and see who created the world. Halakha says, in the synagogue you have to have windows. Why? So you can see the sky. When you look at the sky, you're like, wow, who made this vast Shabayim? So that when the sky gives a person wisdom to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Le'oseh HaShamayim, God created the Shamayim. For what purpose? B'tmuna, to give you tibuna, to give you understanding, in order that you can come to recognize Him. When you start to study what's going on in the Shamayim, the sun and the moon and the galaxies and the orbit, there's so much things going on over there. You say to yourself, this could not just have happened by itself. This could not just been by chance. There must be divine design. There must be somebody behind this. So they say, Shamayim, Rabbeinu Kumei Shamayim, for what purpose? B'tmuna. In order to give the person tibuna, to give the person wisdom. There's another interpretation. The Pasuk says in the prophets, actually it's in Mishle. Hashem bechokhma yatsad eres, konen shamayim bitmuna. Hashem made the earth bechokhma, the shamayim bitmuna. Kone, again, Hashem bechokhma yatsad eres. When it comes to the earth is created bechokhma. When it comes to the shamayim is created bitmuna. Why? So explanation is like this. What is the difference between Chokhmah and Tivunah? Chokhmah is something that wasn't there. You created something from nothing. I say Chidush. I created something. Wow! We never heard this. That's Chokhmah. What's Tivunah? Tivunah is once I say a Chidush to you, then you come along and say, Chacham, based on this Hiddush, I wanna take from what you said and develop it. That's called Tivuna. Chokhmah is Yesh Me'ayin. Like the Pasuk says, Chokhmah Me'ayin Timbatze. Chokhmah comes from Ayin. Before there was nothing there. Also, you say a Hiddush. That's from Ayin. That's from nothing. Tivuna is already, Chokhmah is there. You take the Chokhmah that's there and you now develop it. You good? When God created the world, there was nothing there. Hashem bechokhmah yasad eris. There was no eris there. So with Chokhmah, He made a Hiddush and created the land. However, the Shamayim, where was the Shamayim created from? The Shamayim was created from something that was there already. Why do you call Shamayim Shamayim? Because it's made of two materials, Esh, Umayim. Shamayim is Esh, Umayim. So therefore, He took something that was there already and mixed it together. That's Tibunah. That's already using something that's there to develop it. That's what we say over here. They all say, Shamayim B'Tibunah. And obviously the chesed of the world is that we have the Shamayim is created where we can see God from the Shamayim. The next one. Lerokaha ares alamayim ki le'olam hasdo. What does that mean? He stretches out the earth over the water, which is really a miracle. The way of the water is what? Water seeks its level. You pour water on the table, what happens? The water spreads out until it's level. Miracle of miracles. You have millions of gallons of water in the ocean, and they contain themselves. The normal way of the water should be what? It should just spread out, and if it spreads out, it'll inundate and flood the entire universe. Look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a chesed for us. Lerokaha ares alamayim. He makes a little bank of beach on the side of the water, a little elevated, and therefore the water isn't unable to go. It tries to. The wave comes to flood the world, it sees the beach, it just breaks. So therefore, ki le'olam hasdo, what a chesed that is, saving us from flooding the world. Le'ose orim gedolim, ki le'olam hasdo. God makes the big luminaries. When God created the world, the sun and the moon were both big. Eventually the sun remained big and the moon got punished and became small. This pasuk is referring to the beginning of the creation when both of them were gedolim. What was the chesed? At night the moon was very bright and therefore it served as illumination. We take it for granted because we live in a big city. So we have street lights. So therefore when you walk in the street, you can basically see. But go to the rural areas, to the countryside, at night, it's dark. Sakana to walk outside at night. You cannot see anything. It's pitch black. In the olden days, in the beginning of the creation, at night, you didn't need street lights. It wasn't bright, it wasn't the day, but the moon was so light that it provided enough illumination for the whole world that they can travel at night without having any additional light. So we say that Ose Orim Gedolim. And originally you made big luminaries, ki le'olam hasdo. That's a chesed for the world. And they can see at night. Now we go into specifics. Et haShemesh leMimshelet bayom, ki le'olam hasdo. That's the sun. The benefits of the sun are endless. Number one, it gives us light. And also it provides for us the essential heat. Ki le'olam hasdo. And the sun doesn't stop. It's le'olam. Yom v'alayla lo yishbotu. Every single day the sun rises and the sun sets. If you think about it, it's really a chesed of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If the sun would be a little further from our planet, it would be too cold. If the sun would be a little closer to the planet, it would be too hot. And it provides us with the exact amount of light that we need. You know how difficult it is when you're building a home. One of the biggest struggles when you're building a Bet Midrash is to get the lighting correctly. Always there's dark spots. There's spots where you can't see. There's spots that are not correct. In most structures, they have to do the lighting a few times until they get it right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He made a perfect wattage of the sun. When the morning comes, even if there's clouds, even if there's a rainy day, even if it's snow, doesn't matter. Everybody's able to see. There's no lack of light. It's able to illuminate the whole. There's no dark spots. You don't say, "Well, don't walk over there. It's too dark over there." No, the sun is Perfect. And it's not too bright either, that you would be able to have to squint the whole day. It's perfect amount. He created the sun to rule in the day. He made the light of the moon. Now, even though the moon is not as bright as it used to be, still, it provides light for travelers. When a traveler goes at night, especially in the middle of the month, like we are now, the Motzei Tu B'Shvat, now the moon is full. So when a person is traveling, you can travel by the light of the moon. Not only that, but the moon also aids in the growth of plants. That's what Ibn Ezra says. When the moon comes out, it helps the plants grow. So therefore, they are Tashereb, Kulam Shalad, Kedolam Hazdo. Next one. Oh, now we go back to Egypt. Lemakim Misraim Bibchorehim. What does this mean? Simply, God smote the Egyptian firstborns. That was a miracle. Lemakim Misraim Bibchorehim. But the Mefashim point out over here that the terminology is imprecise. It should say Lemakim Misraim Bechorehim, or Lemakim Bechorehim Misraim. That God smote the Egyptian firstborn. What does it mean, Bibchorehim? Bibchorehim sounds like He smote the Egyptians with their firstborns. So the Midrash says like this, what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu already predicted 9 plagues. When it came to the 10th plague, he announced, Rabotai, at midnight, there's going to be Makat Bechorot. What happened? The firstborns came to their parents, Dad, let the Jewish people go. We don't want to die. He's batting 1,000, Moshe. He went 9 for 9. The odds are he's going to be right. We don't want to die at midnight. What did the parents tell their children? Come on. You believe it? It's not going to happen. So what happened? The firstborns started to kill their parents. A civil war broke out in Egypt between the firstborn and the army because they didn't want to die. Lemakim Misraim Bibchorehim. Borei Olam smote the Egyptians by their firstborn. Bibchorehim. They themselves were fighting. That's why, if you look at all the plagues, we see something very interesting. What's the first plague? Dam. Sefardaya, Kinnim, Arov, Deber, Shechin, Arbe, Hosh, Barad, Hoshe, Barad, Arbe, Hoshech, Makat Bechorot. Why we say Makat Bechorot? We don't say Makat Dam. Why when it came to the, it should say Bechorot. What do you mean Makat Bechorot? The explanation is, it was a double plague. Not only did the firstborns die, but Makat Bechorot, it was the plague of the Bechorot. They themselves plagued. They themselves plagued the Egyptians. Makat Bechorot, it was the plague of the Bechorot. They themselves went out and they killed their own family members. But there's another explanation to this over here. Lemakim Islam Bechorehim. On that night, when the Egyptian firstborns died, how did they die? It says God Himself came down into Egypt. Va'avarti b'layla ze be'eris Misraim. Like we say in Haggadah, Ani velo malach, Ani velo saraf, Ani velo shaliyah, Ani hu velo ahir. On that night, va'avarti, God Himself went down to Egypt and He smote all the Egyptian firstborns. And what did the Jewish people do? We had to put blood on the mezuzot and on the doorpost. In order that what? It says, Velo yavua mashhit lingof. So when the angel of death is passing by the houses, he'll see the blood and he'll pass over the houses. So other Nefashim ask, I thought God did it Himself. There was no angel of death that night. God smote the Egyptians Himself. So God doesn't need a sign. God knows who's Jewish, who's not. So what does the pasuk mean? Velo yavua mashhit. There was no mashhit. Mashhit is the angel of death. Understand the question? So you know what the Mefashim answer? Mefashim answer, amazing. You're right, all the Egyptian firstborns died by God. That was by God. But what happened? There was a double plague. Imagine every Egyptian home, firstborn dies. You know what type of revolution there would have been in Egypt that night? All the Egyptian families would run into the Jewish neighborhood and start killing them. What are you doing to our families? Moshe Rabbeinu, you're responsible. This plague is from the Jews. The Egyptians, not to defend their own children that died, would have waged a war. There would have been millions of Egyptian nationals running into the Jewish ghetto, like Balmanad Kristallnacht, breaking their windows. So what happened? In every family, not only did God kill the firstborn, but He allowed the Mashhit to go kill the rest of the family so they can't take revenge. So therefore, God killed the rest of the family on account of the firstborn. Because the firstborn died, that's good. But what about all those that wanted revenge? So God sent the Mashhit, go kill all the other family members, so they want revenge. So that's what the Pasuk means. Lemekem Misrayim Bibchorehim. God killed the Egyptians on account of the firstborn. God sent the Makata Misrayim Bibchorehim. Because since the Mechorot had to die by God Himself, you needed a backup in order to kill everybody else so they won't come to take a revenge. What's the chesed in this? The chesed in this is you see a midah keneged midah. That the Jewish people are called God's firstborn, and therefore you see God told Paro, you tried to kill my firstborn, now I'm going to kill your firstborn. That's a chesed when we see how God runs the world in a midah keneged midah. Vayosei Yisrael mitocham. When the Jewish people came out of Egypt, they all left. Even the aged and even the infirmed were able to leave Mitzrayim. Nobody was left behind. That was a big chesed. They all were able to come out. Normally, when you have hundreds of thousands of people, there's a stampede. Especially when you're running out for freedom. I don't have to tell you, you go to see what happens in the Hajj, or you see what happens, you don't got to go to the Hajj, in a soccer game in Europe, when they're all running out of the stadium, they trample each other. Could you imagine now, you have hundreds of thousands of people, they're in Egypt for 210 years, and they finally get the green light to leave, there should be trampling. Nothing, but you say mitocham. Everybody left, and nobody was left behind. That's a simple interpretation. But I want to tell you another interpretation based on what was said from Rav Elimelech Melezinsk. He said like this. Really, in what zechut did the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim? We all know that we were on the 49th level of Tum'ah. Like the Gemara says in Megillah, Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah, V'halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah. Goy mekerev goy. It was a goy amongst a goy. But the Mefarshim say it like this. Even the lowest of the Yehudim is still better from the best of the Goyim. Because we're endowed with Neshama. We have Neshama, a special soul, that's a Helek Elokam im Ma'al. I once heard from Rabbi Miller, he once said, where the Celsius, where Fahrenheit ends, that's where the Celsius begins. Which means, where the lowest of the Jews, that's still the best, that's the beginning of the Kedusha, which is even from the lowest of us is connected the best of them. So therefore, when Borei Olam started to compare, and said, you're right, the Jewish people worship Avodah Zarah, but compared to the Egyptians, they're much better. If you look at us on our own, we're low. But when you compare us to the other nations, we're much higher. Even when we fall, we don't fall so low as the lowest nations. So therefore the Pasuk says, Vayosei Yisrael mitocham. He took us out from amongst them, meaning it was comparative. Mitocham. When you start to compare us, mitocham, from where we're leaving, so you say, you know what? Even though the Jews are bad, but mitocham, if it's between the Jews and the Egyptians, the Jews are much better. Therefore it was a comparative redemption. But you say Israel mitocham. Beyad hazaka ubezrawa netuya. When we left Egypt, it was with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That means he smote all the Egyptians and their idols. and he plagued all the firstborns. That's the outstretched hand, and therefore it was a great miracle. Okay, the next one. The gozer yemsuf legzarim ki le'olam hasdo. What does it mean? The gozer yemsuf legzarim. The simple interpretation is gezarim means lanes or rows or paths. When the Jewish people left Egypt, there wasn't a split down the middle. God split the sea into 12 parts, and each tribe went through that area. Reuven had his lane, Shimon had his lane, Levi had his lane. Legozer yemsuf legzarim. That's what we say in the Tefillah on Arbit. Hama'avir banav ben gizrei yemsuf. That it doesn't say Ma'abi Banav Letoch Yamsuf, Bin Gizrei Yamsuf, between the lanes of Yamsuf. That's one interpretation. But we said today another Hiddush on this line. I'll tell it to you over now. The Gemara says, in what zechut did the Jewish people, actually it's not a Gemara, it's a Balaturim, in what zechut did the Jewish people have a merit that the sea split for them? So the Baal HaTurim says, in the zechut of the Brit Milah, because they circumcised themselves before they left Egypt, that already caused the sea to split. And he brings it in is, when the Jewish people left, what did they say? As Yashir Moshe. As is numerically equaling how much? 8. As, Bizchut As. Bizchut the Milah that's given on the 8th day, Yashir Moshe Ubnei Yisrael, the Jewish people sang. And that's what it says over here. How do you call somebody that has a Brit Milah? Well, a Mohel, in halachic terms, is called a Gozer. Gozer, because he cuts. So the one that cuts is called a Gozer, and the one that gets cut is called Nigzar. He's the one that's cut. So the Pasuk says, Le Gozer Yemsuf, Ligzarim. Borei Olam split the sea in what zechut? Ligzarim, for the one that were cut, for the ones that had the Brit Milah. Legozer Yamsuf, Ligzarim. But now I'm going to explain to you, how does the Brit Milah split the sea? Simply it means, you cut, so God also cut. They cut over here. Borei Olam said, okay, you cut, I'm going to cut the sea. Midah connected Midah. That's simple interpretation. But I'm going to tell you a deep interpretation. You remember when the Jewish people were leaving Egypt? I say, do you remember? Because you were there also. I have Adam that wrote that smoke. You know, we had some Mitzrayim. So I'm asking, maybe some of you have a recollection to this. When you're coming out of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu stood at the foot of the ocean, of the Yamsuf, of the Sea of Reeds. And then he told the sea, split. What did the sea tell Moshe? You split. I'm not splitting. What do you mean you're not splitting? God said you have to split. So the sea told Moshe, honor your elders. Honor your elders. The sea says, I was created on the 3rd day of creation. You're a man, you weren't created till the 6th day. I have seniority. I'm older than you, I don't have to listen to you. Wow, Moshe Rabbeinu was in a dilemma over it. How's he going to answer? So they say like this. There's a Gemara. This Gemara that talks about a conversation that Rabbi Akiva had with Turnus Rufus. Turnus Rufus was a Roman general. Turnus Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva, who's better, the creation of God or the creation of men? What did Rabbi Akiva say? The creation of men. Turnus Rufus said, the creation of men? How could you say the creation of God is better? He said, no, you're wrong. So Turnus Rufus says, prove it. So Rabbi Akiva says, it's very simple. You go into the field, you see wheat. God provides the wheat. That's the creation of God. But could you eat the wheat? You can't eat the wheat. Man takes it, he makes it into flour, he adds ingredients, and now you have a jelly donut. What's better? The jelly donut or the piece of wheat? So you see, the handiwork of God is not as good as the work of man. Then he gave him another example. He said, God creates the man uncircumcised. He's incomplete. He has a blemish. On the eighth day, what do? We fix the man by cutting the orla. If the handiwork of God was bad, He'd create us uncircum. He'd create us circumcised already. So what do you see? That the milah shows that the work of man is greater than the work of God. So far, so good.
Good.
So the Torah's proof is accepted. That's it. That's it. She proves it to him. What do you see over here? The machloket between Turnus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva on a deeper level was as follows. Turnus Rufus was saying like this: what's earlier is better. What later is less significant. Something that's earlier is better. The creation of God comes first. The wheat comes before the jelly donut. But Rabbi Akiva said, no, you're wrong. The jelly donut is more significant. Because that's already comes after. That means human beings take what God gives them and they enhance it. That's a much higher level. Yes, we take the uncircumcised body and we enhance it. Oh, when the Jewish people were coming out of Egypt, what did the sea say? I'm older. I was created on the third day. You weren't created till the sixth day. What's the refutation against that? Brit Milah. Brit Milah proves what? That what's done later is more important than what's done earlier. And therefore, when the Jewish people stood at Yam Suf, Legozer, Yam Suf, Legzarim, the sea had to split. The Brit Milah of Klal Yisrael was the answer to the sea. You say what's earlier is better? It's not so. When God created man, he was uncircumcised. That's earlier. What was done later on is much better. And therefore, man was created on the sixth day to enhance the world that was created before him. So the Brit Milah is the answer to the Yam Suf. Now you understand another thing. When God told Moshe Rabbeinu, go take the Jewish people out of Egypt. What did he say? Shelachna b'yad tishlach. I can't do it. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was born circumcised. So he knew, I can't answer. When the ocean is going to tell me what's better, I need to bring a proof of Brit Milah. But I was born already perfect. I was born in a complete state. So I'm not the one to redeem the Jewish people. Shelachna b'yad tishlach. But in the zikhut of everybody else that was standing by Kiryat Yam Suf, the Gozer Yam Suf, the Gzarim, Kiryat Yam Suf. But more than that, if you look at Parashat Lech Lecha, in the word of Brit Milah, when Abraham circumcised himself, what's the word? Vayamud. How does the Targum explain the word Vayamud? Vayamud, how do you explain the word? Targum explains Vegazar. The gazar means, and he cut. So I'm going to tell you Hiddush. Why the Targum explains Vayamul Vegazar? What's the first letter of Vegazar? Vav. That's the sixth day when Adam HaRishon was created. Gimel is what? That's the third day when the ocean was created. The Brit Milah tells us Vegazar. The Vav comes before the Gimel. And what's the Zar? Az Yashir. What's the last letter of Az? Zayin. Yashir. Resh. Because of the Brit Milah, the sea split. The Vav comes before the Gimel. Az Yashir. Sofet Tevot Zar. And therefore, Vegazar. The Brit Milah is the refutation to the water in order for the sea to split, in order to make the miracle of Yisiyat Mislai. That's the Gozei Yashum Gozei. Okay. Now we go to the next one. The Molik Amo Bamidbar. He took us in the Midbar. Kile Olam Hazdo, that's a miracle for us. In the Midbar, there was no light. There was a cloud of glory in front of us. There was a cloud of glory behind us. The topography was all hills. The clouds of glory smoothened the land for us, and it killed all the snakes and scorpions for 40 years like this. Bar Minnan. A person cannot live in the Midbar, maybe for one night even. It's too dangerous. How can he go to sleep? The second he goes to sleep, all you need is one snake to come from behind him, bite him, he dies. That's sakana. It happens all the time. A scorpion or something. Here the Jewish people for 40 years. So we say, Lemodich amom ha-midbar, kirei olam hasdo. Lemakem melachim gedolim. This is referring to the 31 kings that the Jewish people conquered when they went into Eretz Israel. That's the 31 kings of Canaan. Vayaharog melachim adirim. That's referring to Paro and also the Canaanite kings. Now we get to the other two kings that I want to talk about now. Lesihon melech ha'emuri ul'og melech ha'bashan ki le'olam hazdo. Okay, why are these singled out? So I'm going to explain. First of all, who was Sihon and Og? Sihon and Og, they were giants. According to the Midrash, Sihon and Og were even stronger than Paro. They were mighty warriors. The Gemara says, Og was the son of Shamhazai. Shamhazai was like a malach that came down in the time of Adam HaRishon and went with a woman. And from this woman was born Og. So he was like, he had the power of an angel. He was Gibor. Shamhazai died before the Mabul. So how did Og make it during the Mabul? So Midrash says he hung on to the plank of the Teba, even though the waters of the flood were scalding hot. Where Og stood, Borei Olam made a miracle that those waters didn't burn him. Noah drilled a hole on top of the Teba and was sending out food to give to Og so he could exist. But Tosafot asks, what about Sihon? Because Sihon was Og's brother. Now we don't, doesn't say that Sihon was hanging on to the boat. We know Og was hanging on to the boat, but we don't read about Sihon hanging on to the boat. So how do we explain that? So the Maharsha explains like this from Rabbeinu Bahya and Parashat Hukat. Rabbeinu Bahya says, it's an amazing story. This guy Shamhazai had relations with one of Noah's daughters-in-law, with Ham's wife. So Ham was on the Teva, Ham's wife was on the Teva pregnant with Sihon. And therefore when they got off the Teva, she gave birth to Sihon. So therefore Og was on the outside and Sihon was on the inside. In any event, they were tremendous giborim. So it says the Sihon Melech Emori, when we fought Sihon, it was a big battle. But that was one of the Hasadim of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Og Melech HaBashan. Now I want to tell you the story of Og Melech HaBashan. We learn a great lesson from Og. Why was he called Og? It's a funny name. Og. What kind of name is that? So the Mefarshim explain like this. He is called also in the Torah the Palit, the refuge. You remember there was a war between the four kings and the five kings. Who was in the middle of the war? Lot. Abraham didn't know what was going on. Vayavua Palit. Who's the Palit? Og. He comes to tell Abraham, listen, your nephew's in danger, you might as well go out and save him. So what does he do? Abraham thanks Og. He musters up his army of 318 soldiers and he goes and saves Lot. Hakamim tell us, Og was not Lashem Shamayim. Og intended to throw Avraham in the war. Avraham will probably get killed in the war. And he'll marry Sarah. He was not Lashem Shamayim. By the way, what time of year did Og come to Avraham? He came Pesach time. What was Sarah doing? Sarah was baking matzot. And he started to make fun of her. What is this? What kind of bread is this over here? We never saw crackers. He was making litzanut from the matzah. What does the Torah call matzah? Ugot matzot. So since he made fun of the ugot, so they nicknamed him Og. The one that made jokes from the Og, we call him Uga. So instead of calling him Uga, we could have called him sponge cake. Instead of calling him sponge cake, they called him Og. Now what happened? Og lived from the times of Noah all the way till the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe killed Og. Now that's a long life. I don't know, do the math, but that's, he lived more than 1,000 years. More, 1,200-1,300 years. It's a long life. What zechut did Og live so long? So the Gemara says, in the zechut that he helped Abraham Avinu, so Borei Olam gave him long life. So we learn a Musar from Og. But Og Melech HaBashan, Ki Le'olam Hasdo, that the chesed of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is, even if a person does a mitzvah, not L'Shem Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him reward. His chesed is so great. Look what he did to Og Melech HaBashan. Is that a chesed? He helped Abraham, it was for himself. He didn't have Kavanah to help Abraham really. He did it for self gratifying reasons. So we say in the Mizmor, with Og Melech HaBashan, we learn what? Ki Le'olam Hasdo. That the Hasadim of a Kadosh Baruch Hu was so great that he even rewards not Neshem Shamayim. Kal Vachomer of somebody acts Neshem Shamayim, well, I'm also what the reward is destined for him. Okay, we can continue. We should finish it. Why should we? All 26. We want to get Yud Kevavke, Hashem Hashem tonight. Venatan Asam Nahala, Ki Le'olam Hasdo. We got the lands of Sihon and Og. That was a chesed, because those were extra. When God promised Abraham the lands, Sihon and Og were not included. He promised, Eskana'ani, Ahiti, Ahivi, Ahibusi, Ahigashi. So therefore we're thanking Borei Olam, not only did you give us what you promised Abraham, but V'natan Arsam, the Nahala. You gave us also the Nahala of Sihon and Og. Nahala li Yisrael Avdo. This is referring to Eretz Yisrael. How do I know? In Eretz Israel, all the tribes got a chelek, except one. Which tribe is that? The Kohanim. Kohanim Leviim. So that's why it says, Nahalal Yisrael Abdo. In Eretz Israel, only the Yisraelim received a Nahala. That's referring to the Halukah of Eretz Israel. Ki Le'olam Pastor. Shebeshiflenu Zachalanu. What does that mean? In our low, downtrodden state, when we were Shefel, Zachar, when was that? At the time of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, when we went into Galut, God did not forget us. Like the Pasuk says, Be'af gemzot, be'yotam be'eres oy behem, lo ma'astim ve'lo ge'altim nechalotam nafer b'niti etam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even though they were in the nations, in the Galut, in the nations of exile, even in our downtrodden state, Borei Olam remembers us. What does it mean? Simply, Rashi explains, from the Egyptians again. You saved us from the Egyptians. You redeemed us. Mitzarenu is our enemies. But I wanted to say another interpretation to this. You saved us from our enemies. Now, Motze'et Tu B'Shvat is a very, very big day. It's a big night as well. As I explained this morning to the Kahal, we are now 30 days away from Purim. So the light of Purim already, we're able to benefit from. I explained that the holidays are like magnets. A magnet has a power to attract another magnet, or metal. But you have to be close enough for the attraction to be felt. Once you're 30 days away from Purim, already the magnet of Purim, you start to feel it. You start to have already a preparation. 30 days from Purim is already Pesach. So once you're already magnetized to Purim, automatically you're connected to Pesach. So once you get to this day, 15th of Shevat, already you're starting to bask from the light of the upcoming holidays, Purim and Pesach. There's a connection between these two miracles, Purim and Pesach. Both happened that we were saved from our enemy, by our enemy. How? In the story of Purim, what happened? Haman tried to kill us. That's from our enemy. So what did he do? He made a big tree. He went to Ahasuerus. He spoke bad about us. Who ended up getting hung on the tree? Haman. Ala aetz, asher hechin, lo. Gemara says, Tana, lo hechin. He prepared it for himself. That means he tried to make a tree for Mordechai. And it ended up backfiring, and he ended up getting hung himself. Vayifrekenu mitzarenu. God saves us from our enemies. Meaning, our enemies are the ones that save us. Vayifrekenu mitzarenu. The enemies themselves are the ones that save us. Like we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Ishe'amda labotenu velanu. שלא אחד בלבד עמד עלינו לחלותנו, אלא בכל דור ודור עומדים עלינו לחלותנו. והקדוש ברוך הוא מצאנו מידם. הקדוש ברוך הוא saves us from the hand. But the דרשנים say, והקדוש ברוך הוא מצילנו מידם, with their hands. Which means we get saved from their hands. Their hands save us. How? In Pesach, Paro made a decree. Who saved Moshe? Paro's daughter. Who raised Moshe? Paro. The guy that tried to kill Moshe, Bore Olam Yoshev Bashamayim Yishak Adonai Yil'aglamo. Bore Olam makes a joke from the Goyim. You're trying to kill Moshe? Not only are you going to kill him, you're going to feed him. You're going to raise him. He's going to be taught the royal protocol. You're going to nurture Moshe to become the leader of Klaisa. So he's going to know what does it mean to be royalty. The Kadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam. From their hands. From the hands of Haman and the hands of Paro. And that's what we say here. Vayifrekenu Mitzarenu. From the Tzarenu themselves, you brought us the Geula. Notenechem Nechol Basar. Oh, Kide Olam Hazdo. As we explained, Notenechem Nechol Basar. Now I want to just tell you that whenever we talk about Parnassah, we're always reminded of the derasha that we once spoke. The Arizal tells us there's certain shemot that are misugal for Parnassah. These shemot come from the pasuk Poteach et Yadecha. The Gemara says in Berachot, the Gemara says over there in Berachot, we're supposed to say Ashre three times a day. Kol ha'omer tehillah l'David b'chol yom miftach lo shu ben amal abba. So the Gemara wants to know, why is Ashre so important? So it says, if you're going to tell me, so it says, because it has the whole Aleph bit. Every pasuk is Aro Memcha, Bechod Yom, Gadol, Dor Ledor, Hadar, Ve'ezut, so it has the Aleph bit. Any mizmor that's written in Aleph bit is very significant. So the Gemara says, if you're looking for Aleph bits, open up with Kuf Yotet in Tehillim. Kuf Yotet has Aleph Bet 8 times, 8 Alephs, 8 Bets, 8 Gimas. So the Gemara says, no. Because it also has Parnasa. Poteach et Yadecha was Pechol Harason. So the Gemara says, are you looking for Parnasa? We have a Mizmor Halel Gadol. Noten Nechem, Nechol Basar. So the Gemara answers, De'it Betarte. It has both. It has the Aleph Bet, and it also has Poteach et Yadecha. That's a simple interpretation of the Gemara. Good? But I want to explain to you tonight the depth of what the Gemara means. Oh, you know why we say Ashrei De'it Betarte? The Gemara was saying, one of the Shemot of the Kadosh Baruch Hu for Parnasa is Hatach. Het, Taf, Chaf. Where does that come from? Sofei Tevot of Poteach et Yadecha. The last letter of Poteach is Het. The last letter of Et is Taf, and Yadecha is Chaf. So the Gemara says, if you're looking for Hatach, we have it in another Mizmor. Noten Lechem Lechol Basav. Look at Noten Lechem Lechol. What's the second letter of Noten? Taf. What's the second letter of Lechol? Chaf. Lechem is het. Noten lechem nechon. The second letter spells hatach. Noten is taf. Lechem is het. Nechon. So the Gemara says, if you're looking for hatach, say noten lechem chobasa. But the Zohar Kadosh writes, there's another shem besides hatach, and that's pe alif yud. Pe alif yud comes from where? From Rashi Tevot, poteach et yadecha. That you don't have over here in this mizmor. So that's what the Gemara says, de'it betarte. Over there, poteach yadecha, you have the two shemot. You have poteach yadecha and hatach. Mashaikin in noten lechem chobasar, you only have one. That's the depth of the Gemara means. Ah, no, the id betate. Meaning you have two shemot. Last but not least, first of all, the noten should be noted. It's in the present tense. Noten lechem. God provides sustenance for man every single day. Incidentally, the Gemara says over here in Pesachim, I want to quote. Gemara writes, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Kashin mezonotav shel adam yoter min ha-geula. It's so difficult to make a parnasa, or it's such a great miracle, I should say, even more than the final redemption. De'ilu be-geula keti, what does it say by the redemption? Ha-mal'ach ha-goel oti mikol ra. Who can bring a redemption? A mal'ach. Mal'ach be-alma. De'ilu be-mezonot keti, ha-elohim ha-ro'e oti. When it comes to parnasa, Panasa comes directly from Geula Amalach Goel. Panasa Ha Elohim Harayoti. Last but not least, the Gemara concludes: Hulu Le'el Hashamayim Ki Le'olam Hazdo. We give thanks to God of the heavens, the God of the heavens. That even though He's in the heavens, He looks down at the people on the earth and gives them sustenance. Where does the rain come from? Rain comes from the heavens. The main sustenance of the world is from the rain. Without the rain, nothing starts. The food cycle begins when? When the rain comes. And where does the rain come? From the Shamayim. Therefore we say, Ki Le'olam Hazdo. That means when you have the rain, we know we're going to have an ample supply of sustenance. And that vividly demonstrates the kindness of the good Baruch Hu for the world. 26 Mizmorim. What a way to begin the week. Somebody asked a question once. With all the beautiful things that the Mizmor mentions, how come there's no one line, Shenatan lanu et ha-Torah, Ki Le'olam Hazdo? You tell me about Sihon, Og, this one, that one. What about the giving of the Torah? Because all this is referring to over here is the Hasadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us without the Torah. Once already you get the Torah, then we can earn it. All these Hasadim that we read here tonight, they were pre-Torah. They were given to us before we actually received the Torah. Once the Torah is given, then already we have a reason to receive the reward. That's the 26 generations for the Keneged 26 Mizmorim. Now, I told you in the beginning of the Shibur that some of the rabbis learned that each line of this Mizmor corresponds one generation. I cannot tell you everyone, even though I read it. It's fascinating. But I'll tell you the last two. Noten lechem lechol basar corresponds to the generation of Amram. Hodol el Hashamayim is the generation of Moshe, because we're going 26 generations down. The Arizal writes, in the generation of Amram, what was the tikkun? In his generation, they took all the Jewish children and they threw them in the water. Why? Says the generation of Amram was a gilgul of the neshamot of Dor HaMabul. All those neshamot of Dor HaMabul had to come back. And what was their tikkun? They were drowned again in the waters to make the tikkun. Because what was their sin? The sins in the time of the Mabul was what? Kishhit kol basarit derkol ha'aris. They committed znut. What does the Pasuk say? Ki bi'ad isha zonah ad kikar lachem. If a person commits znut, immorality, God takes away his parnasa. God takes away the lechem. So the end of the Tehillim is saying Noten lechem lechol basar. In the times of Amram, what benefit did they have to eat bread? These were the gilgulim of Dora Mabul, and Dora Mabul committed znut. Znut doesn't have a right to eat. Kiyele olam hazdo. That God gave them bread, even though they didn't deserve it because of their hata'im, but still, kiyele olam hazdo. He gave it to them, behesed. The generation of Moshe, the Arizal writes, they were a gilgul of Dora Palaga. The generation of Palaga. What did Dora Palaga do? They built a tower. They built a tower to fight God, that's where? In the Shamayim. They built the first skyscraper. Why? Because they wanted to fight God who's in the Shamayim. They also had no zechut. They came back in the generation of Moshe. And God supplied for them. So we say, Hodo le'ela Shamayim. To the God of the Shamayim that Dora Palaga tried to attack. And they came back in the times of Moshe and still Borei Olam gave them sustenance. Ki le'olam hazdo. In the zechut that we came tonight to give Borei Olam the praises, this is a siman tov that you start the week by saying Ki le'olam hazdo, that God's kindness is forever, His kindness is ideal for the world, the Shem Shamayim of course. Bezchut ze, the author of this chapter, David HaMelech Alav Shalom, Yagin Ba'adenu. Now we're on the way home to make Seudat Menavim Malka Bezat Hashem. Seudat David HaMelech Alav Shalom. That's the way you make Seudat Menavim Malka. You can't just go eat. It's easy to eat. First, you have to talk about the guest of honor. The guest of honor is David HaMelech. So you spend an hour and change to talk about one of the songs of David HaMelech. Now I say, Lech Echol B'Simcha Lachmecha. Ushtei B'Lev Tov Yenecha. Now go home and eat your bread with happiness and drink your wine with happiness. Kivan Nisa Hashem. God already has accepted your prayers. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Amen.